Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand.
A warm welcome to all of you. The topic today is confidence in Christ, where God meets you. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health, with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Holy Bible, Job. Thou art my confidence. Galatians. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Psalms. O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth, and of them that are afar off upon the sea? Exodus. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with an high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh, and his high horsemen, and his army, and overtook them in camping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians, that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he had shown you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. Isaiah. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Judges. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all in his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in her hand. And she made him sleep on her knees, and she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gehazi and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. And there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women, and beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, and the one with his right hand, and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than which he slew in his life. Proverbs. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Numbers. And Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, had no sons but daughters. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, and they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away from among his family because he hath no son? Give unto us, therefore, a possession among the brethren of our father." And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of inheritance among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them." Proverbs. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. 2 Corinthians. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. 2 Kings. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because of him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So Naaman came with his horses and with a chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper." And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather than with he saith to thee, 'Wash and be clean'?" Then went he down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh came again unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Philemon. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Hebrews, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. 2 Corinthians, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. The truth of Christ is in me. And from Science and Health, the Christ was the Spirit which Jesus implied in his own statements, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I and my Father are one. This Christ, or divinity of man, Jesus, was his divine nature, the godliness which animated him. Divine truth, life, and love gave Jesus authority over sin, sickness, and death. His mission was to reveal the science of celestial being, to prove what God is and what he does for man. In Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and English, faith, and the words corresponding thereto, have these two definitions, trustfulness and trustworthiness. One kind of faith trusts one's welfare to others. Another kind of faith understands divine love and how to work out one's own salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief, expresses the helplessness of a blind faith, whereas the injunction, believe, and thou shalt be saved, demands self-reliant trustworthiness, which includes spiritual understanding and confides all to God. Because truth is infinite, error should be known as nothing. Because truth is omnipotent in goodness, error, truth's opposite, has no might. Evil is but the counterpoise of nothingness. The greatest wrong is but a supposititious opposite of the highest right. The confidence inspired by science lies in the fact that truth is real and error is unreal. Error is a coward before truth. Divine science insists that time will prove all this. I saw before me the awful conflict, the Red Sea and the wilderness, but I pressed on through faith in God, trusting truth, the strong deliverer, to guide me into the land of Christian Science, where fetters fall and the rights of man are fully known and acknowledged. As the children of Israel were guided triumphantly through the Red Sea, the dark ebbing and flowing tides of human fear, as they were led through the wilderness, walking wearily through the great desert of human hopes and anticipating the promised joy, so shall the spiritual idea guide all right desires in their passage from sense to soul, from a material sense of existence to the spiritual, up to the glory prepared for them who love God. Stately science pauses not, but moves before them, a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, leading to divine heights. The term Christian Science was introduced by the author to designate the scientific system of divine healing. The revelation consists of two parts. Number one, the discovery of this divine science of mind healing through a spiritual sense of the scriptures and through the teachings of the Comforter as promised by the Master. Number two, the proof by present demonstration that the so-called miracles of Jesus did not specially belong to a dispensation now ended, but that they illustrated an ever-operative divine principle. The operation of this principle indicates the eternality of the scientific order and continuity of being. Christian Science differs from material science, but not on the account is it less scientific. On the contrary, Christian Science is preeminently scientific, being based on truth, the principle of all science. Physical science, so-called, is human knowledge, a law of mortal mind, a blind belief, a Samson shorn of his strength. When this human belief lacks organizations to support it, its foundations are gone, having neither moral might, spiritual basis, nor holy principle of its own. This belief mistakes effect for cause and seeks to find life and intelligence in matter, thus limiting life and holding fast to discord and death. In a word, human belief is a blind conclusion from material reasoning. This is a mortal, finite sense of things in which immortal spirit silences forever. The atonement of Christ reconciles man to God, not God to man. For the divine principle of Christ is God. And how can God propitiate himself? Christ is truth, which reaches no higher than itself. The fountain can rise no higher than its source. Christ, truth, could conciliate no nature above its own, derived from the eternal love. It was therefore Christ's purpose to reconcile man to God, not God to man. Love and truth are not at war with God's image and likeness. Man cannot exceed divine love and so atone for himself. Even Christ cannot reconcile truth to error, for truth and error are irreconcilable. Jesus aided in reconciling man to God by giving man a truer sense of love. The divine principle of Jesus' teachings and this truer sense of love redeems man from the law of matter, sin, and death by the law of spirit, the law of divine love. First in the list of Christian duties, he taught his followers the healing power of truth and love. He attached no importance to dead ceremonies. It is the living Christ, the practical truth, which makes Jesus the resurrection and the life to all who follow him indeed. Obeying his precious precepts, following his demonstrations so as far as we apprehend it, we drink of his cup, partake of his bread, and are baptized with his purity. And at last we shall rest, sit down with him in a full understanding of the divine principle which triumphs over death. The Christ is incorporeal spiritual, yea, the divine image and likeness, dispelling the illusions of the senses, the way, the truth, and the life, healing the sick and casting out devils, destroying sin, disease, and death. The law of Christ, or truth, makes all things possible to spirit. This concludes the healing message and publicly recorded portion of the meeting. Now we will begin the meditation and prayer portion of the meeting by listening to In Christ Alone. Now all pray together in silence for a few moments, then join together in praying aloud the Lord's Prayer. This will be followed by a musical interpretation of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. And together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.